Well, it's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey, and this is for June. This is news that you can use from Car Edge, with your host. Well, apparently just me and Zach standing off camera because, well, he's mad at me. But what else is new? When you work together next to each other, you know, stuff happens.
I had to pee. Just give me another 20 seconds to pee. Like, what's the big deal? You're such a...
Showtime is showtime.
Dude, just let me pee. People ask all the time, what's it like working with your dad? And it is awesome. I love working with you. But just let me pee. You're such a stickler about... And today's whole episode is going to be ragging on my generation, too. But here we go.
Well, this was a good start.
Gen Z, they're not reliable. You can't count on them.
Yeah.
Stop itching your eyes. All right, here we go.
They have to pee way too at showtime.
No wiggle room. Why more young Americans are falling behind on car payments, Dad. Payments are absolute budget busters of $800, even $1,000 a month. We've been talking about this for a long while now. Get in here. Tuck it. Come on. Get closer to the mic. There you go.
Closer to the mic. Yeah.
Dad, the reason I chose this for today's headline is this chart right here.
This one?
Quarterly transition into serious delinquency, 90 days or more for auto loans by age group. This comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It was republished in this pretty chart from Yahoo Finance. Look at that, Dad.
What the hell am I looking at?
This is quarterly serious delinquency rates by age group.
Ah, there. I'm getting it now. I'm starting to understand.
Which group is leading the way when it comes to falling behind on payments for their vehicles?
Your group, those 18 to 29 year old kids who haven't quite learned the responsible way to handle credit. And the one other group that I noticed, if you'd go back to that chart for just one second, I'm feeling a little bad for this group because, well, I'm in the group. It's the 70 plus group.
But 70 plus is below.
Yeah, but their numbers are going up. So what that would indicate to me is that a lot of people that are living off their retirement incomes are finding it more difficult to do so with the type of inflation that we're experiencing. So just saying, you kids, you have the opportunity to grow your income moving forward. And those of us who were 70 plus, you know, well, we were kind of looking at not really having to work anymore in order to be able to live comfortably.
So we've looked at other data from time to time on this show, and we've talked to plenty of folks, thousands of folks. Younger people are overextending themselves on their car payment. We think part of this has to do with flex culture. I was waiting for it. There it is, folks. We think part of this has to do with flex culture, right? Yes. This idea that you have to have the latest. You're turning away from me now. Did I really upset you?
I was getting a drink.
Better hope you don't have to pee.
Well, you'll block me. Oh, that's something we can come up with in the future. P blocker.
No, all right. My point being, Dad, we've seen data. We've talked to folks. Younger generations of buyers are overextending themselves. The share of purchase of luxury vehicles continues to go up. And then you look at data like this.
Yes.
From the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. This is unbiased information. And without a doubt, Gen Z, 18 to 29 year olds, my group.
Yes.
They're falling behind on payments of auto loans at a higher rate, not by a little bit, by a lot of bit, as compared to everyone else. And the other piece that I left out is that the overall auto loan delinquency rate, serious delinquency rate, is back to where it was during the Great Recession. It is one tenth of a point. It's 4.6 versus 4.7. Back in the Great Recession, it was 4.7%. Today, it's 4.6%. So we're back to where we were pre-pandemic. We're back to where we were during the Great Recession, and Gen Z is leading the way.
Yes. So it just shows that for a lot of younger people, they're not real good at budgeting. You know what they're good at? Social media. They are so good at social media. You know, in the blink of an eye, they can post something on Instagram or on Facebook or on they could do a TikTok while they're sleeping.
And they want to do a TikTok while they're sleeping in their new BMW.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a culture.
But they're having a tough time figuring out how to make that $800 to $1,000 car payment. And so many of them are falling behind. You know, it's... it's not uncommon for the younger generation in every generation to initially have difficulty understanding how all of this works. I mean, it's a learning process. And I must say, at the school level, we don't do a real good job preparing people for this. So you reap what you sow, or you sow what you're, whatever, you know, the whatever. I don't know how you say it.
According
to you reap what you sow, or you sow what you reap.
Experian.
Yeah.
Coming out of the pandemic, delinquencies for car loans have increased sooner and faster compared with other loans, which he attributed to more lenient lending standards for borrowers with subprime credit scores. So this continues to be and will continue to be.
Yes.
The storyline is those who have poorer credit histories, who got credit terms that they probably shouldn't have been approved for.
Yes.
Over the past 18 to 24 months are now coming to the reckoning of, I can't afford that payment. The vehicle's not worth what I paid for, because we're, you know how human nature works, Dad. A couple of years ago, about, no one's going to remember. Most people are not going to remember how inflated used car prices were, and the fact that people were buying used cars last year for over the original vehicle's MSRP. Like that, people are going to forget about it. It's just going to become normal. This is a group. This is a subset. And all of the early warning indicators are flashing red. Young people and those who don't have high quality credit scores, mm-hmm. those are the groups that are going to be hampered long term by this push towards flex and, culture. I got to have something.
And the young people that find themselves falling behind presently and that are severely delinquent 90 days plus, you know, if they weren't subprime borrowers in the past, they are working towards becoming subprime borrowers in the future.
Do you think they understand fully the implications of going severely delinquent on an auto loan?
No, I don't. I don't think.
What are the implications?
The implications are that you will be limited as to the number of lending institutions that will even consider lending you money. And those institutions that will, since you pose a much greater risk of non-payment than the average person, those lenders that will consider you and charge you a much higher rate. And the rate could be in the 20%, 22%, 23%, 24% range. And that means that you are paying back so much more interest than the average person that you never get caught up. And I think one of the reasons younger people don't understand that is because we don't do a good job educating people as to, A, the importance of really understanding credit and debt, how one builds their credit portfolio, showing that they have a willingness and the ability to handle their credit obligations. So if you don't understand that initially, if the whole thing is kind of willy-nilly, then this is what happens. And you will be paying more for the same items that you finance over your lifetime than those who handled their credit obligations promptly and properly.
And there's a push, Dad. There's a subset of humanity that wants to get rid of cash. You know what's great about cash? It's not tied to your identity. It doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care what your credit score is. The more we move towards a cashless society, which a lot of people, I mean, I don't have my wallet on me, but you have a card in yours. I have a card in mine. Everyone I know, my peers, they have debit cards, credit cards. It is what it is.
Yeah, I know you don't typically carry any cash.
No. Recently, I've had to get cash because I'm on the damn New Jersey Turnpike and I don't have an easy pass, so I have cash on me. But the reason I bring that up, Dad, is because the group of people, the consumers who are going to be most severely impacted by this long term are the folks that you were just speaking to, the folks that don't understand the implications of missing these car payments, mm-hmm. of going severely delinquent. The 9.2% of outstanding loans at Santander, or however you pronounce it, those people don't understand fully, I don't think, the long term negative implications to their buying power. And then you pair that with a society that's moving cashless.
Those people, the 9.2% that you spoke of at Santander, and the young kids that are delinquent today. It is not just a short-term issue for them. It becomes long-term. It becomes lifetime.
Lifetime.
Okay. It's like handcuffs. So if somebody with good credit qualifies for a rate of 8% on a car loan, and somebody with not quite as good credit qualifies for 10%, and somebody who has had real delinquencies qualifies for 20%, you're going to be paying, even if you start paying your obligations well for the next several years, you will always still pay more than the person who handled their credit properly from the beginning. So you, over your lifetime, might pay two or three times more for the items that you buy ultimately than those who handled their credit properly. That's you are setting yourself up for a future that will provide you with less things because your buying power isn't the same as somebody else's that has handled their credit obligations properly. You know, and I'm not a financial planner. I'm not here to tell you how to handle your finances, but
not at all. Yeah.
But it's the reality of the situation. And when you are in the car business and you are tasked with structuring car deals for people and you read credit reports on a daily basis, you begin to understand the significant impact that being late on payments can have on someone. It's staggering how this is going to impact people moving forward.
Completely agree. One of the things that we did last year is we created Deal School. Dropping it in the chat. If you don't feel like paying for Deal School 3.0, which I don't blame you, you don't have to. Deal School 2.0, still 100% free. Deal School 3.0, just updated, has cheat sheets, things like that. Go watch Deal School. Like, don't just go arbitrarily buy a vehicle. I also dropped in the chat that you have this article from July of 2020, almost 3 years old. And unfortunately, or I should say fortunately,
yeah,
like a fine wine, this does age well.
This one did.
How much should I spend on a car? One of the OG videos we ever did on the internet. Look at those young, handsome men. Oh, my God,
yes.
With their fancy Mercedes-Benz.
Well, I didn't have a Mercedes.
Neither of us have ever had a Mercedes-Benz.
My God, I was thinner then.
You look good.
Yeah, I need to go.
That photo's from the Red Room.
It is indeed, yes.
How much should I spend on a car? You've got a great guide here, Dad. You wrote this 3 years ago. There's my old Volvo.
Yeah.
Man, the good old days. So please take a minute.
When you actually had a car.
When I actually had a car. Now I just mooch off of others. Again, like a good Gen Z-er. Jokes aside, there are some very, very, very dedicated, hardworking Gen Z-ers out there.
There are indeed.
For every generation, there are folks who work really, really hard. All right, Dad, let's switch gears. Let's talk about what happened in the month of May. It is now June 1st.
It is indeed.
Promotions at Car Edge ended yesterday.
Yes.
Except just kidding. We've started now ending them on the first day of the following month because so many people would reach out to us and say, oh, I missed it by a day. Can I get it? So you still can get 20% off Car Edge Coach. You can still get 20% off Car Edge Data.
That ends today. That's your typical Gen Z-er right there. Give me one more day. Give me one more day. You know,
we're in business, Dad. If people want to buy this stuff, we'll sell this stuff.
I get it. But, you know, it's when I was in the business, the retail automobile business, and we would sit there and we'd tell people, we have incentives from the manufacturer. The incentives end on the 31st of the month, if it was a month that had 31 days. And then the people would come in on the first or second of the next month and say, well, can't you just backdate it? That's fraud. Okay. There's a timestamp. There was a limit placed by the manufacturer on the incentive. There's a timestamp, a limit placed on your promotions. If you say it ends at the end of the month, then damn it, it should end at the end of the month. You don't just extend it a day and then another day and then another day. It's like, okay, well, let's just have the damn thing forever.
So, like I was saying, 20% off ends today. And $100.
Oh, you're so lucky he's not a hard ass like
$100 off service contracts actually ends today, but
yeah,
one thing you can't change is the month. So the month actually did end. So we've got, Dad, the latest sales numbers, not from everyone yet, but we do have May sales numbers. Let's see what happened, Dad. In May, U.S. light vehicle sales were forecast to gain 18 to 20% in May.
Wow.
As retail selection improved and automakers filled a backlog of fleet orders.
That's the key.
I don't have the exact numbers. It'll come out in Cox Automotive, and maybe it isn't here, for fleet sales. We are going to be tracking that closely because the more fleet sales increase and the less retail sales increase, the more that puts a magnifying glass on what we saw yesterday, which is, for example, Jeep Grand Cherokee Overlands now have a 20% manufacturer discount from Stellantis, from Jeep. It's if fleet sales are going up, but retail sales are staying flat and inventories are building back up, it is going to lead to
more incentives. Watching something last night and a commercial for Dodge Ram 1500 trucks came up.
They can't run enough commercials. Well,
okay. And it's 10% off of MSRP. That's just from the manufacturer. That had nothing to do with how much you can get from the dealer.
Saturday night on the Car Edge channel, Mario, Phil, and my dad are going to be doing the show on Saturday night. I'll be moderating it with Justice and Kimberly. Watch that show. Mario's preparing his hot and not list, okay? What are the vehicles that are hot right now?
Yeah.
Hot meaning you can get a deal on. What are the vehicles not hot right now? Data-driven approach. That Ram that you're mentioning. Yeah, you're damn right. They need to be doing more than 10% off of those to move them.
My hot and not list might not have anything to do with cars.
Keep it PG or PG-13. Well,
of course.
Thank you.
God, what do you think of me?
Here we go, Dad.
Yes.
What brands were hot and what brands were not last month? Again, everyone that has data reported so far up year over year. For May, Genesis up 27%. Hyundai for everything up 18.4%. Kia up 23%. Mazda, Dad.
Yes.
Let that sink in there, folks.
Yeah.
Mazda,
yes.
117% increase in sales year over year. We have been talking about Mazda like crazy because their prices are what?
Very, very competitive.
Very affordable.
Yes.
And their inventory is
good value for the dollar.
And their inventory is
higher than most. And their dealers, for the most part, are willing to negotiate, willing to work with you.
Does this not speak volumes? Pops volumes to the reality, which is automakers make money when they wholesale cars to dealers.
Yes.
Mazda's sales are up 117%. Why? Availability and affordability. Does that not signal? Because to be clear, gang, this comes from Automotive News. This is the industry publication.
Yes.
If I'm at any of these other and I look at if I am a CEO of an automaker, my fiduciary responsibility is to make as much money as possible for my stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this and I'm not growing at 117% year over year. Does this not kind of force some of the OEMs to start thinking about how they used to operate, which was give our dealers inventory, make sure when the customer shows up, they have options and have the price point be attainable? Mazda's killing it, man.
Well, they did in May. That was the increase in May year over year. It's not the increase for the year, but they're up, I think, 20 some percent for the year. It's kind of like athletes in the sense that an athlete's best ability is availability. Okay, when it comes to automobile sales and the manufacturers, their best ability is availability. If they have no availability, then their sales aren't growing. If they have too much availability, like Stellantis, then you have to do crazy stuff to get people to buy some of the crap that you're producing. And if you have limited availability, then you can still offer customers a fair deal and still grow your business. But it's all about availability. And right now, Mazda has it. Honda starting to get it again. So we're starting to see some of the brands coming back. Toyota snapped a streak where they had 10 months of declines in sales.
Declines, yeah.
But their increase in sales, 6.4% in month over month for May.
Year over year for the month of May.
Is behind everybody else significantly. And their year over year numbers for the first 5 months, Mazda's up 20.6%. Toyota Motor Corporation, including Lexus and Toyota, is down 3.7%. So it's all about availability. And you know, sometimes you just you have to look at what's available and perhaps change what you're looking at. As you know, which is what we're seeing a lot of people do who wanted a certain Toyota model that they can't get, that never seems to be available. And they go over to a brand like Mazda, where they can find vehicles on the lot or coming in very, very soon. And the dealers are willing to work with them and give them a deal. And Mazda's market share is growing and Toyota's market share is declining. You tell me which makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Dad. I think we talk about it all the time. It's the same playbook Toyota used to win in the United States.
Yes.
Is now what other automakers are going to use.
Yes.
Mark says, didn't y'all say Stellantis products have about a third off right now? Not all of them, but quite a few.
Yes.
I can't even believe we're saying that. You can't just arbitrarily, as an OEM, jack your MSRPs up and expect everyone forever in perpetuity to keep buying them.
Yes.
And then you have to discount them.
Yes. And on top of that, while you're doing it, still produce vehicles of inferior quality.
Yeah.
Compared to your competitors.
Pops, we had here from Sakar. Thank you for the contribution.
Thank you.
Hello, sirs. My TransUnion is 718, Equifax is 694, and Experian is 625. I have delinquent and derogatory remarks for credit cards until last year. Do you think dealership will finance me? And if yes, how much will the APR be and down be? Let's give some advice here to Sakar.
Okay. Do I think a dealer? It depends. Okay. It depends on what your total credit history is and whether or not you have had automotive credit history.
Yeah.
So when banks consider an auto loan, they are not just looking at your total credit score. They want to know what your auto FICO scores are. If you've had credit for automobiles in the past, how have you handled that? If you've never had automotive experience, and your experience is limited to a few credit cards and things of that nature, then it might not be as easy. You might need a cosigner, or you might need a sizable down payment. One way to get a bank to agree to give somebody with limited credit history a loan is to bring a sizable down payment. Now, when I say sizable, if you're looking at a $50,000 car, you know, come in with $15,000-$20,000 down. That way, the finance manager can argue with the bank that you have 15 or 20,000 reasons why you are going to make your car payments. You are just not willing. Most people would not be willing to put up that type of money and then ultimately have that vehicle repossessed and be out $15,000 to $20,000. So there's a lot of factors involved. Have you had auto credit in the past? Do you have an available cosigner that has a good credit history? There's probably, if you don't have any auto credit, then there are probably still some subprime lenders that would look at you a little more favorably than standard lenders, and even though you've never had any automotive experience, they would probably charge you, well, they would definitely charge you a higher interest rate, but they might not charge you their highest interest rates. I would think, depending on what you're looking at, I mean, if you're going in, you're looking at a $100,000 car with $10,000 down, no, you're not going to get financed.
Yep.
If you're going in looking at a $40,000 car with $10,000 to $15,000 down, I would think more than likely they would be able to find someone to lend you the money.
Thank you for that, Dad. I dropped a couple links in the chat. You wrote this: what credit score do car dealers use? 3 years ago, February of 2020. And Justin,
yes,
congratulations to Justin and his wife and his family. They had their baby newborn recently.
Daniello.
No, I don't think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Danilo,
yeah. So congratulations to you, Justin. He's on paternity leave. But while he is,
yes,
he put some great content up at caredge.com/guides. What credit score do car dealers use? Whoops, that was the other one. I posted it. Sorry. I posted the same thing twice. So I'll put it in the chat. We keep track of auto loan rates by credit score. That was what Justin had worked on. And there you go. That is now in the chat. Pops, can we switch gears for just a quick moment and do our favorite segment?
Really? You gotta pee? No, really? You gotta be kidding me.
All right, Dad. Really, you gotta be kidding me. Comes yes. by way
yes.
of Car Edge today.
You're kidding me.
All right, so we were picked up, gang, by the Autopian. Huge shout out to David who posted this. Whoops, how did I get on to here's when you become a member? All right, one second, gang. I had the wrong thing up. Where was it?
Stuff happens, buddy.
Where was it? Here we go.
I know it was on Twitter today. I saw it on Twitter.
From Matt, there is a 753-day supply of Jeep Renegades and other cars that are slow to sell, too. Really, you got to be kidding me, folks. It's not that our data got picked up, because there you go. Jeep Renegades, 753-day supply. You can see the others that have a high day's supply as well. The really got to be kidding me is 8 out of the 10 vehicles on this list
are Stellantis products.
If you're getting bored of us talking about this story, I'm sorry. We're going to continue to. It is mind-boggling, Dad, how much inventory they have sitting around that they can't sell. Average transaction price on a Jeep Renegade last month, $32,000. So evidently, that speaks volumes to what price people are willing to pay.
Yeah, I would think it's going to need to be lower than that for them to move their two-year supply of vehicles that they have at the moment. A 700 and some day supply. It's a two-year supply. 2 years. Okay, if they sell at the average rate that they've been selling at, it'll take those Jeep dealers 2 years to sell out of all those. Just 2 years.
Anyone from Jeep, if you want to come on the show and explain to us if we're wrong.
Probably Stellantis is probably tired of us talking about it.
But I think they probably are.
But they need to do something about it.
Yeah, you're going to see big Renegade incentives around the corner.
You're already seeing huge incentives on there. There was some interesting statistics. If you go back to the how many cars the manufacturer sold, there was some incentive statistics lower down on that. So keep scrolling. Look at this. Here are incentives. Here's the difference between May of 2022 and May of 2023. Okay. BMW's average incentive in May of this year was $3,937. Last year, in the same month, it was $1,182. 233% increase. Stellantis had a 77% increase in their incentive spend. It went from $1,894 to $3,359. Now, we know that number's going up when you consider on that, what was it, the Grand Cherokee Wagoneer or whatever the hell it was?
Just the Grand Cherokee.
20% off. 20% off. Okay. So the amount of incentive spend in order to get more people to buy at a retail level last month went up dramatically. There was only one brand whose incentive spend was less than $1,000. Can you name that brand?
Toyota.
Okay. Everybody else was $1,000 or more, and several were at $3,000 and above. So it is happening where we suggested you'd start seeing the incentives to help people buy these overpriced vehicles. And so we're starting to actually see it. What we don't know yet is what the percentage of fleet sales were for May. But my suspicion is I read in the article that at Kia, their fleet sales were up 50% year over year for the month of May. So if the retail side of things isn't growing quickly or at all, and my suspicion is it's not,
yep.
Then you will continue to see more and more incentives as fewer and fewer people find themselves in the market for a car.
Spot on, Dad. All right, final thoughts here from today's show. We are over on Instagram at MyCarEdge, and we are doing an Ask Us Anything today. That was last night. Here we are.
Yes.
Let me press pause.
Look at those sneakers.
Cool sneakers. He's a cool dad, folks. If you are not following over on Instagram, we're going to finish the video, or we're going to finish the show here. We're going to film a video, and then we're going to just be on Instagram responding to questions over there. The other thing I want to make folks aware of is if you're not following us over on Twitter, please do.
Yes.
I am at Chefska, and we are at My Car Edge again. So please follow us over on Twitter. We post a lot of interesting things here as well. So we appreciate when you join our... Yeah, we are live on Twitter.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Hello, all my Twitter followers.
Final thing, again, the promotion that we ran in the month of May. Thank you to everyone.
Yes.
A couple thousand people joined us here at Car Edge. Our car coaches, we're hiring three new ones. Hunter actually starts on Monday. Super excited about that. I've talked to a lot of really interesting folks. So we're adding more car coaches to the team so that we can provide a better service and even more hours of availability. So please, if you're not working with one of our car coaches and you're buying a car here in the next, I don't know, 90 days or so, consider signing up. The 20% off ends legitimately
tonight at midnight.
At midnight
sometime
in Manila.
Midnight mania in Manila
Friday. Tomorrow we'll be back with Miss Kimberly Klein.
Absolutely. It's Kimberly's Corner tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 8 a.m in Anchorage, 6 a.m in Honolulu, midnight in Manila.
I like how you said that.
Yeah. Midnight at the Oasis.
See you guys. Okay.